Amen. What a song. Just to think, a week ago I was in Bethlehem. And in that place where Jesus was born. In the place where Boaz, that Ruth gleaned in the fields of Boaz, where David wrote many of the Psalms as he watched over his flocks and the sheep there. And then to think about, again, Bethlehem, the house of bread, where the bread of life was born. Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. I'm sorry, my voice is a little gravelly this morning. Blame it on my wife. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Very familiar Christmas passage as we don't anticipate the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks of teaching you much of anything you probably don't already know. But again, a reminder of the birth of Jesus, how unusual it was. Amen. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a fair man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived, not received, but conceived." And Mary had a part that he was man. He was born man. "Conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again, God, for your love. We thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world as a man. We thank you, God, that you allowed your son, enabled your son, empowered your son. And Lord, we thank you for our Savior who died and was buried and rose again, that we could have eternal life. Lord, as we remember the birth this morning, may you enlighten us, enable us, give us understanding. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember as a kid always anticipating birthdays coming up, especially waiting at the mailbox, waiting for the money that would be received from my grandparents, right? My grandparents were very kind on my dad's side and always sent us $25, which for me was a huge deal. Huge deal. It's funny how after 18 or 19 that goes away, but whatever. Then it becomes about the grandkids and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but we always anticipated our birthday. And my mom always made a big deal of our birthdays. Always a big deal. We always had a big party and had friends over and sleepovers. I can remember my dad helping set up the tent in the backyard, an old army tent, old green, heavy canvas army tent with the pole in the middle, and setting up that old tent in the backyard and sleeping outside in the backyard with my friends. It was always a great anticipation. Here, birthday's coming up, and what do you want to do? What gift do you want? And again, great anticipation on our birthdays. Again, the older we get, the less enthusiastic we are about our birthdays. Now it's whatever. But we think about President's Day. We think about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. We think about the attention that is placed upon, well, used to be placed upon their birthdays. And but it's funny, or we think about it, that it's one birth that received international attention, and that is Jesus Christ. The point is this. Why are famous people's birthdays celebrated? Not celebrated because of their birth. They're celebrated because of their life. And their life makes their birthday special. But can I tell you that Jesus' birthday is special all to itself? You would not have to have Jesus' life to draw attention to something special about his birthday. Of course, we have his life, and certainly a life without sin is something unique and special. But his birth was special. It was unusual. He was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin. What is the difference about Jesus' birth? Most of you know these things, so let's go through this. What is different about Jesus Christ's birth? Number one, he was virgin born. He was born without an earthly father. Matthew tells us about it from Christ's supposed father's side. So we have the genealogy of Christ here in Matthew chapter 1 from Joseph's line. And we see that that's where Jesus Christ gets the legal right to the throne of David. Amen. Remember now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, we may do this next Sunday, going back to the Davidic covenant. The promise that was given to King David was that upon his throne, his descendants would rest forever. That there would be a descendant upon the throne of David forever. Prophesying of Jesus Christ, who one day will set up the throne. His throne, from Jerusalem, from Mount Moriah, on the Temple Mount, from the temple. And Jesus Christ will rule and reign forever and ever. And so that promise was given to David and reviewed over and over again. So that legal right to the throne that Jesus Christ has to sit on the throne of David is found or is given by way of Joseph, his supposed father. And we know it's not his real dad. He was born of a virgin, right? Amen. But as an adopted son, if you would, he would receive the legal right to the throne of David through Joseph, through Joseph. As you read Matthew chapter 1, you'll notice it says, beget, beget. Look at verse 14. I'm not going to go through these, but verse 15. And Eliud beget Eleazar, and Eleazar beget Mathan, and Mathan beget Jacob. Verse 16, chapter 1. And Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. It does not say Joseph beget Jesus. Because Jesus was not begotten of Joseph. That which provided the part which the man provides was provided by the Holy Ghost. That which the part the woman provides was provided by the woman, Mary. In other words, Jesus Christ was man. We can go study over again in Luke and see the genealogy of Mary. So you have Joseph's genealogy and the legal right to the throne that Jesus would have through him. And then in Luke, you have Mary's genealogy, all the way back to Adam, basically, that gives Jesus Christ the human right to the throne. That he was indeed a man. He was just as much man as though he'd never been God, and just as much God as though he'd never been man. He was the God-man. And you can study it, the hypostatic union that Jesus Christ had two natures. He had a human nature and a divine nature. And yet he was one. You say, preacher, explain that for me. We could sit down and try to do it, but you just got to accept it by faith. That's what the Bible says. He had two natures, human nature, if you would. He was human, and yet he was divine. I was listening to a program the other day, and actually reading a book as I was on my sabbatical. And I was reading this book, and it was a good book. And all of a sudden, it got into the question of when did Jesus Christ realize that he was God? After he was born, when did Jesus Christ realize he was God? Well, that's an easy question. He was always God. And I wrote in my notes, but I always write in my books as I read them. And so on the bottom I put, I can't stand to read a book that gets the deity of Christ wrong. There was so much stuff, good stuff in the book, I continued to read it. But Jesus Christ was God-man. He did not lay aside his deity when he came to this earth. He laid aside his glory. But he did not lay aside his deity. He was just as much God, again, as though he'd never been man. Just as much man as though he'd never been God, he was the God-man. He was born of a virgin. Born of a virgin. Because he was born of a virgin, and I'm not going to preach on this morning either, but it also offset Caniah's curse. There was a curse put on the line of David through Solomon, through Caniah. Put on that line, the line of Joseph's line was cursed. And there was a curse put on it that a descendant would not sit on the throne of David. But thankfully, there's Nathan on the other side through Mary. No curse on that line. And so Jesus Christ has the legal right and the human right to the throne. And one day, he will sit on that throne. One day, He will rule and reign. One day, we will have a perfect king. Amen. One day, we'll live in a society where there'll be no wars. Amen. Where every neighbor can get along with their neighbor. Hallelujah. He was born of a virgin. There's no doubt the Bible teaches this truth. As we read in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1, and we read in over and over again, John chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 1, I mean, on and on, and I could quote the scriptures, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. Now, I'm so thankful He was born of a virgin. It is one of the essentials of the gospel. If He was not virgin born, then I am without hope, lost in my sins, and on my way to hell. If He was not virgin born, if He was born a sinner, then I have no hope, and I am lost and on my way to hell. But I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and therefore born sinless. In other words, number two, it was a holy birth. A holy birth, born without sin. Every baby that's born in this world is born with a sinful nature. Hello, it's easy to understand this. Every baby that's born into the world is born with a selfish nature. You have to teach them otherwise. You have to teach them not to take the toy away from another child. You have to teach them not to be selfish. And we are born sinful. We are born sinless, selfish by nature. We are biased. I was reading another article this week about man being good in his core. That is not a true statement. Mankind is naturally biased in the direction of wrongdoing. Naturally biased in the direction of wrongdoing. Again, we have to train our children. We have to apply We have to apply specific determinants and positive positive to get them to do right. Hello? And notice I said try to get them to do right. As parents, we struggle with that because we are born selfish by nature. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, because Adam sinned, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Because of Adam's sin, because of that original sin in the Garden of Eden, and that sin has been passed upon all men. All mankind are born sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners by nature. We're all sinners by nature in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, born without a sinful nature because He had no earthly father. Our sin nature is provided or given to us by our dads, by the Father. Adam is the one who sinned willfully, and it's through Adam that we receive our sinful nature. And because, again, He was virgin born, there's no sinful nature. Jesus Christ never one time committed a sinful deed. Never one time had a sinful thought. Never one time had a sinful desire. He was sinless in desire, in deed, and disposition, His nature. That's Jesus Christ. Number three, He was prophesied. His birth was prophesied. Hundreds of years before He was ever born, the Old Testament speaks of Him coming into this world. Even there in Genesis 3:15, it speaks about one who would come, who would remedy mankind's fallen condition. Isaiah speaks about, again, the virgin birth. And Micah chapter 5, verse 2, 700 years before His birth, it was said where He would be born, that He would be born in the town of Bethlehem. In fact, when the wise man came, we read a moment ago, when the wise man came to Herod and asked, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" What does it say? It says Herod got his wise men together, got his guys together, And they looked at the scripture, the scribes did, and they said, Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, Bethlehem. So they understood that the Messiah one day would come and he would be born in Bethlehem. And so they sent the wise men to Bethlehem. Now, thankfully, the star, the point of light, probably the Shekinah glory, appeared and gave them exactly the house and shined right over the house where Jesus was at, probably as a young child, maybe the age of 1 or 2. Sorry to... I've just shattered all of your nativity scenes. By the way, it was a cave or the Tower of the Flock. There's really two possibilities it could have been. But it wasn't a barn looking thing. Sorry. It was a cave. More than likely a cave. Everybody good? Just shattered all your preconceived notions, and now we must move on with the message. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And Herod and the scribes, they said, it's Bethlehem, and they headed to Bethlehem. 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, it was prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem. I'm thankful today I have the Bible. The Bible is true from beginning to end. Our hope is in this blessed book. This blessed book, I hold it in my hand. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. As we travel together, my Bible and I. You want to sing it? Ready? Everybody got your Bibles ready? I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. As we travel together, my Bible and I. It's a good way to see who brought their Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, hold up your cell phone or your tablet or whatever. Ready? I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. As we travel together, my Bible and I. Our Bible. True from beginning to end. Its promises. Always, always true. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. Jesus Christ prophesied to be born hundreds of years before his birth. Born without sin. By the way, eternal. The Bible speaks there in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. What does that mean? It means that when God said, in the beginning God created, when the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis chapter 1, Jesus Christ was there. The Word, it says, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, capital W-O-R-D, God became flesh and tabernacled among us. The eternal second person of the Godhead came to earth, took upon Him flesh, and was born a baby. We speak of this as the incarnation. He laid aside His glory, did not lay aside His deity. Imagine this. He, Christ, walked on the ground that He created. He was there when the foundations of the world were set. He was there when mankind fell. He was there when the flood of the whole earth happened. He was there when the fragmentation of society happened. He was there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was there when they fled, when they came out of Egypt. He was there when they when they fluctuated under the judges. He was there when they fought for Canaan. He was there. Jesus Christ was there. He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is eternal. What hope we have in Jesus. It was a royal birth. As we've already stated, he was born a king. No one's born a king. Usually there are steps you have to go through. You may be second in line, or you may be the uncle of the aunt or the cousin of the brother, like the royal family there in England. I think everybody's about to be on the throne over there. Every time I read stuff, like I'm the 14th in line or something like that. That's never going to happen. Jesus Christ was born a king. The wise man came and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Born King of the Jews. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. One day he will reign forever and ever. By the way, when he returns, I was just there. I was just there on top of Mount Olives. I was there on Mount Olives. I was there where Jesus Christ one day will come through the nation of Africa. And it says he will tread the winepress. In other words, he'll defeat the armies there in Africa. And when he comes to Mount Olives, he will step on Mount Olives. And it said, the Bible says it will split in two. And out of it will flow a river. And he'll defeat all the armies. It's done. By the word of his mouth, it says. Won't be much of a battle. And what it says is that on his garment that he has on, that garment that's already stained with blood, that garment says, King of kings and Lord of lords. See, he won't come. The next time he comes, he doesn't come as a lamb. No, he comes as a lion, as our King of kings and Lord of lords. It was a royal birth. It was a wondrous birth. Won't spend much time on this point, but a lot of things happened that night. He was born amid wonders, the star that appeared and the angels that came to the shepherds. I don't know about you, but none of that happened at my birthday. None of that happened at my birth, right? It was a miraculous birth. Wondrous things happened that night. And then lastly, it was a birth that was doomed. In other words, there's no song that says, born to die. Jesus Christ was born to die. He was born to die. His purpose in coming to this world was to die for us. He came to die. Only two sentences speak of the life of Jesus between the time he's born and the time he's 30. Only two sentences. That he grew in stature and wisdom, right? Very little stated about what Jesus did during the time he was, from the time he was born to the time he started his earthly ministry. It was the cross that was important. It was the cross that was important part of his life. One third of the chapters in the gospel deal with the final week of his life. One third. What other biographies do you know of that spend a third of their chapter or a third of their chapters talking about a man's death? No, I've read lots and lots of biographies, and usually they take one chapter at the end to deal with his death. But not our Lord. One third of the chapters. 89 chapters are found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 29 chapters deal with his final week. He came to die. And there's much information about that and much information from the apostles about the death of Jesus and that week of the death. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and what? Give his life a ransom for many. He came to die. He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrifices. He was that lamb that the priest would put upon the altar. He was the goat that the priest would put upon the altar. He was the turtle doves that the priests would offer up in sacrifice. He was the meat or the flour or the grain that they would offer up. He was that drink that was poured out as an offering unto the Lord. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all those Old Testament offerings. All the Old Testament offerings foreshadowed the final sacrifice. That final sacrifice was Jesus Christ. See, he came to die. That we could live. He came to die. He was born to die. By the way, he died bodily. You can't crucify a spirit. He didn't swoon. He didn't pass out. He died. He was buried. And for 3 days, his body lay in that tomb. For 3 days, he laid there. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Proving he had paid for our sins, proving he had no sins of his own, but yet paid for our sins. He came and was born a man that he might die and shed his blood for us. A very unusual birth that day. A virgin had a baby. A baby with no human father. But his father was God. Very unusual birth in that he was born without sin. He had no sinful nature. A very unusual birth in that his birth was prophesied hundreds of years before it happened. And every prophecy was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. A very unusual birth in that he was preexistent before his human birth. Eternal. His birth was unusual in that it was a royal birth. He was born king of the Jews. It was a wondrous birth, surrounded with wonders as the shepherds met those angels in the field. And it was a doomed birth in that he came to die for you and for me. Listen this morning. I hope this morning you understand and know that you're a sinner. We're all sinners by nature, selfish. And we're all doomed to a devil's hell without the Savior, without the hope eternal that's found in Jesus Christ. The wages of the payment of sin is death. Revelation says that death and hell are cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen, hell is real. Listen, I'm thankful heaven's my home. Heaven's my home because I put my trust in Jesus Christ. I placed my hope in Him. I placed my hope. I believe that He lived, that He died, that He rose again, that I can have eternal life. I hope this morning you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Most important message at Christmas is the message of Jesus Christ. He is the reason for the season. And I remind you every year, I remind myself every year, take time to teach your children and grandchildren the story, the message of Jesus. No Christian child should ever respond with from the question, what is Christmas about? And they say Santa Claus or something like that. No, every Christian child should know what Christmas is all about. And that should be emphasized at home, undergirded by the church, and resonate to those children over and over and over again. What a great opportunity we have to tell others of Jesus. And may we take that opportunity with our friends and with our families, with our coworkers, and every way possible that we spread the gospel of hope. Of hope. There is hope. There is hope. I'm thankful one day He will return. Let's all stand. We have a verse invitation. Hymn 41. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Hymn 41. After we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for Your love, and we're so thankful for You sending Your Son to this world to be born, to live a perfect life, and to die and rise again from the dead that we might have our sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. God, may that hope be reassured in our hearts today that You're coming again, that one day You will sit upon the throne of David, and one day You will rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May we walk away today with that hope. Lord, if there's someone today who's not saved, may they get saved today. Or maybe be reminded to tell others of Jesus. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.